John chapter 5, please, if you would. We're going to read a few verses here, and we'll start in verse 30. I'll come back later on and reference some other verses here in John chapter 5, but I want us to think about something, and we understand that the Scripture ought to be our guide for life, okay? If the Word of God can indeed be that lamp unto your feet and light unto your path in your life, that's what we want out of Scripture, from Scripture for our lives. And that's what the Bible's for. God gave it to us not just to have a good book to read. You understand? It's not for entertainment purposes. Although the Bible is quite entertaining. All right? Just go through and read some of the miraculous stories. And, oh, goodness. I couldn't tell you when it was, but I think I preached it here. We need to be re-amazed by the Word of God. You know, we've gotten so enamored with and so inundated with Hollywood and cinematography and the devil's just trying to steal our amazement away so that when we pick up this old book, we find it boring. Or, if you will, music has evolved, if you will, to a certain place where people find the old hymn book boring. You know, we need to revive ourselves. We need to get back to where these things are exciting. The things of God are exciting. The right kind of music is exciting in our lives. We need to get back to that place. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, if you're physically able, John chapter 5, and why don't you join me out loud on the even verses, and we'll start together in verse 30, and I'll read the odd verses by myself as we go through the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 30 altogether. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Yet ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works of the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which ye receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? It's an interesting passage of Scripture, and as Jesus is talking here, he's going through and dealing with the people, the Jews, and they're persecuting him, and he heals this at the beginning of the chapter. He's found healing a man here, and this man was impotent, if you will, and he had this infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to have an infirmity. And Jesus saw him, and this is the story where the man is by the pool, and when the angel troubled the waters and the first one to get there would be healed, etc. These things were happening, and this man could never get there. And Jesus saw him and took pity on him, and he told him simply, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he said, "I want to, but every time I come down there, another steppeth down before me, and I can never make it there." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And then the Bible tells us the details. It says this in verse 9, "And on the same day was the Sabbath." Uh-oh. Doing work on the day of rest. We can't have that now. Amen. That's right. It was God's work. "But the same was the Sabbath day. So the Jews, therefore, said to him that was cured in verse 10, it is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered him and said, him that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Who would you listen to? 38 years. You had this problem, right? And this guy comes up to you and he says to you, "Hey, take up your bed and walk." And you're actually able to get up on your feet, which this man had not been able to do. And lean down and pick up his bed and walk away for the first time. I wouldn't care what day it was. I'd go to the moon. If he told me to walk to the moon, I'd walk to the moon. And you know, that was this guy's opinion. They said, "Well, who is this guy?" It says in verse 13, "And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place." You can understand. Here they are, this kind of a forum. There's this pool there, and guess who was all gathered there? All the people that wanted to be healed of something. So you can imagine if he's going to heal one, guess what there's going to become really fast? A line. Okay? So he conveyed himself away, and that was the way it was. And so, but it says, "And afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Now that's a whole nother message in itself I could go off on and talk about here. But you understand that Jesus cared about this man. And think about this, just as a little bit of an appetizer to a future message perhaps. But the man was made whole, and where did Jesus next find him? In church. Folks, a lot of times, there's a joke that I tell. I won't tell the whole thing, but it has to do with squirrels. And this town had a squirrel problem. And several of the churches tried to get rid of the squirrels by you know, killing them, trapping them, dogs, et cetera, you know, and all the animal rights people were protesting against them, right? And then after a while, the Baptist church, they figured out that the Baptist church didn't have any squirrels. And they wondered, and there were no protests. They wondered, "Well, how did you accomplish this?" So somebody asked them, the preacher, and they said, "Well, how did you get this done without having any protests?" He said, "It was easy. We got them all together, all the squirrels together. We got them saved, got them baptized, and they haven't been back since." Don't be like that, okay? Don't be a squirrel, all right? Be a follower of Christ. No, we ought to be in church. And anyways, that's a whole nother subject. But, he finds this man, and the man departed, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus, which had made him whole. Okay? "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Now remember, at this time they were looking for anything to hold over his head to get rid of this guy. Because he was a thorn in their flesh, right? He was a difficulty. He was trying to upset the apple cart of their existence, and they didn't like it. So they begin to persecute him because he had broken the law. Now listen to me. Jesus had an answer for them. He had something about his life that he wanted to accomplish. And in verse 17, it kind of embodies it all and says this: Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." You understand that God has a work to accomplish amongst us, his creation, the people that he created. He has two types of work that he's trying to accomplish. He's first of all trying to see people saved. He's trying to see lost people come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that God says he wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You understand? There is not a single human being that has ever lived on this earth that God hasn't wanted to be saved. Just wrap your head around that thought for a moment. There have been some awful, awful, awful human beings in this world. And I promise you, not one of them has God not wanted to see saved. Yes, I'm talking about the worst that you could think of. You say, how can you say that, preacher? Listen, if I don't say that, none of us can be saved. You understand that, right? It's a whosoever will salvation. And folks, it's all or nothing. If you're going to start excluding people, well, this guy doesn't deserve to be saved, or this person doesn't deserve, this woman doesn't deserve to be saved, this... No, if you even go down that path one step, we have no salvation. It's all. Now, have all trusted Christ? No. You understand that as well. But guess whose choice it was? It was their choice. Okay? It was their choice. God has provided this. It's his work. Jesus said that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Go back to John chapter 1. This is the work that Jesus was talking about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Why? That all men through him might believe. That's it right there. What more do you need? That's what God said he had come to provide, that he had come to do. Jesus was here to work. It's the Father's work. It was his work. He was here to do the work. And guess what? Even on the Sabbath day, he accomplished this work. He healed this man. In verse 18, it tells us the Jews sought the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but now, they're piling up the charges here. Not only had he worked on the Sabbath day, quote unquote, right? But then now it says that he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. How dare he? Blasphemy, they cried. Remember? Well, that kind of brings us to the subject of today. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. As he goes through this chapter, he talks about the witness of this and the witness of that and bearing witness and such things. Listen to me. We are witnesses that he is equal with God. That Jesus Christ is God. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. And he's our Savior. I hope that you're a witness. Have you experienced his saving grace in your life? You understand that in order to be a witness, You have to experience the event. Right? Otherwise, are you, anybody in here ever practiced law or studied law, or maybe you've been a defendant in a case? I don't know.
I've experienced law.
but if you've watched law on TV, okay? All right. Anybody like those lawyer shows or court shows? Okay, things like, yeah. Okay, I'm not talking about people's court, you know, or anything like that. But anyways, we've experienced this thing. As a person comes and gives a testimony of things, what's pertinent to that testimony? Whether or not they were, yeah. You know, my kids, I'll ask them, well, who did this or what happened here? And here's what a lot of times kids will say. Well, I think so and so did it. And I look at them and say, I don't care what you think. Did you see it? Well, no, but I. Okay, well, no is all I need to hear. Because now I don't want to hear any more from you. Because you didn't see it. No, being a witness, a testimony, that's something that we need to experience. Have you experienced salvation? I hope you have. And guess what? Here's the thing. You know, one of the messages that was preached at football camp this week had to do with knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. And I'm not here to try to talk anybody out of their salvation. But if you've ever been or are on the fence, whether or not, well, I'm not sure if I am, I'm not sure if I'm not. Listen to me. You know if you've been saved or you're not. You know it. Folks, I went to church as a kid. I grew up in a Christian home. God was a part of our lives. I was taught the Sunday school stories. I knew that Jesus was the Christ. And I believed it all. But there had to be a time where I asked Jesus to save me. And guess what? I know that happened. You understand that it's not a, oh, I hope I did. No, salvation is a no-so thing. It's a record. It's recorded in the Word of God. And once we've experienced that thing, guess what that makes us? A witness. We're a witness. And guess what we're supposed to be a witness of? The Lord Jesus Christ. That He is equal with God. You understand that they were upset because not only had He broken the Sabbath, but He also said that God was His Father, making Him equal with God. Look at verse 19. It says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that the Son, all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word, and believeth on Him that sent Me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You understand that Jesus is trying to help these people realize that there's a witness of Himself, that He is the Christ, that He is God. And listen, there's an attack today on the deity of Christ. And I thank Brother Michael for talking about this last week. You did talk about that, Michael, didn't you? Is he in Children's Church? Okay, good, good. He told me he was going to. He did preach about that, right? Amen. So I'm not going to re-preach his message. But do you understand there's an attack today on the deity of Jesus Christ? There are religions out there and people out there that just believe that Jesus was a good person. That he was a prophet, right? That he was just a good man sent from God. No, he's God. He is the Christ. He is God. And God has given him this work to do. You understand that the Father's work is the work of the Son. You know, in old cultures, what happened in a family? If the father was a carpenter, what did the son become? Yeah. If the father was a farmer, then the son became a... Okay? Remember Mr. Zebedee, what was he? A fisherman. And what were his sons? And after Jesus called them, they became fishers of men. They stayed in the trade, amen? That's how it used to be. That's how it is with God. What's God's work? Salvation, redemption. What's the Son's work? Salvation and redemption. The Father's work is the Son's work. The Father reveals the Son's work to us through the Son. The Father's power is given to the Son. We found that in verse 21. That the Father quickeneth and raiseth people from the dead, so the Son will quickeneth whom he will. The Father commits the judgment to the Son. Let me ask you a question. Who's going to judge us? Those of us that are saved, it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. You understand, folks, God has given these things to his Son. The Father reveals that the Son is to be honored as God is to be honored. The Father's power of life is given to the Son. The Father's will is the Son's will. We found that in Scripture, right? Where Jesus submitted to the will of God. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Hey, one of the greatest things I learned as an assistant pastor is that the pastor's the pastor. As an assistant pastor, I didn't have my own will. You know why? Because I wasn't the pastor. He was the pastor. And guess what? I worked for two different pastors over the time that I was at Trinity Baptist Church. And guess what? If the pastor said something, guess what I was supposed to do? Yeah, support it. What if I didn't like the idea? I should undermine him and throw a mutiny, right? No, I shouldn't. Okay. Well, why? Because he's the pastor. So we need to understand that the Father's will is the Son's will. God has given us this witness in nature of these things. You know, fathers, what do we try to do with our sons? We try to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, don't we? And what do we want our sons to do? Obey. Right? You know what I want my sons to do? I want my sons to follow what I show them. To go along with these things and to do these things. You know that's hard to do. And there's some sons in here. Huh? Sons? Let me ask you. We got a bunch of sons up here. Aren't you glad the rest of you are sitting with your families? Here's some sons up here. Look at these sons. There's a whole bunch of ugliness over here. I'm glad there's a little bit of prettiness behind you there. That's nice. But, guys, do you have your own wills and desires? Your own ideas? Shake all your heads up and down. You do. Yeah, sure. But guess what you're supposed to do? Follow the will of your Father. Is that hard to do, guys? Let's just be honest. Can we? Is that difficult? Yeah. Because you got your own ideas, don't you? You're budding. Well, whatever you are. Huh? Does what Dad asked you, two of these are my boys, so they're going to, I know what they're going to say. The things that Dad tell you to do always make sense? Do sometimes you feel like you have a better idea than Dad does? To go about these things? Yeah. And let me just, we're brutally honest here, you know. You ever just decided to do your own thing instead of dad's thing? Yeah. Let me just ask you, how did that work out for you? Yeah, see? Didn't work out very good, did it? Yeah, well, tell it to my boys so they can figure that out. Now, let's listen to me. Isn't that true? I mean, even Jesus, he said, let this cup pass from me, right? Understand, the human side of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't want to die on the cross. And folks, I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to either. If you've read about crucifixion, if you've read about that process, that was agonizing. You talk to some of these guys that were POWs in different wars and things like, folks, that's not fun. It's difficult. It's tough. But what did it come down to? The Father's will. You understand that the things in our lives, they are a witness of God through us because we are His sons. You understand that as we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This is what we have the opportunity as Christians to do, is to be a witness. A witness of God the Son. This man was a witness. He told the Pharisees who it was that healed him. And because they did, Jesus was persecuted. You understand that Jesus said, the world doesn't hate you, it hates me. And if we're going to live like Christ and we're going to be a witness and stand up for Christ, guess what we're going to be? Hated. I do enjoy some of these stories about these legal things and law and all police and all that stuff. But you understand that's why there's a witness protection program. Because the person that stands up to be a witness is now what? Now hated. Why? Because they're telling the truth. Because they're revealing things. And listen, folks, the world's not supposed to be in love with you. And guess what? Vice versa, we're not supposed to be in love with the world. It's not easy being a witness. But we must be witnesses. As we go through here and we look at verse 25, the Bible tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In verse 30 he says, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. As we look at this thing of being a witness and of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we have to understand that this witness is in us. If you're born again today, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has given you the Holy Spirit of God to indwell you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You understand that as a witness, it's not just coming from us, it's coming from God in us. The Holy Spirit of God. You know, just a moment ago I was talking about people who were debating upon whether or not they're born again. Folks, the Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. He guides us into all truth. And listen, I'm not for that ooky, spooky, weird Holy Spirit thing that's going on in religion today. The Holy Spirit is a real being. Okay, it's not weird. It's not, okay. It's not weird. It's real. And He guides us into all truth. Those of you that are believers, how many times have you been going somewhere and God just kind of taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you need to give a gospel tract to that person? Oh, listen, I've been there and I've been on a time crunch. I got to get here. I got to get there. You know, do this, do that. And guess what? There's been some times where I've just ignored that. And I'll take about 5 more steps. And a freight train will just stop me. Like, and guess what I have to do? If I just listened the first time, it would have taken about a few seconds. I lost more time going past the mark and having to go back to it again. He guides us. He leads us. To do what? To bear a witness. Jesus came to seek and to save that which lost. What are we supposed to do? The same. How many times have you ignored the Holy Spirit of God in your life? You know, at other times, not just being a witness of Christ, but as far as our testimony as a witness, there have been times where I went to do something that I wanted to do that would please the flesh, that I knew I wasn't supposed to do. But guess what? I decided to do it. And guess what happened? As soon as I did it. Oh yeah. Well, what is that? It's the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells the believer. He lives in us. And He is a witness of Jesus Christ. In verses 31 and 32 of our text, he says this: if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now we believe in Scripture that's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He's a witness. And Acts chapter 1, turn over there in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we know that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And guess what happened? They went out and testified. And 3,000 people were saved. That's amazing. Not only do we see the witness of the Holy Spirit, we see the witness of John the Baptist. Remember what we read back in John chapter 1? This man, where was he sent from? This John, remember what we said? Where was he from? Sent from God, whose name was John. If you just go back and read about Elizabeth and all the things that went on, God did that. He was the one to make straight the path. He was the one to proclaim the voice crying in the wilderness, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John himself said that I'm nothing. He's everything. I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. And remember when Jesus came to be baptized of John? Jesus said, "Hey, isn't this backwards?" Right? John's like, "Hey, you need to baptize me. I don't need to be baptizing you." I mean, John realized what was going on, but he was a witness. We understand that he bear record that this is the Son of God. John knew exactly who this Jesus was. You know what? I don't even know. This is just a guess. But remember when the scriptures tell us that when Mary and Elizabeth got together that John leapt in the womb? This is just a guess. Maybe he knew that. Maybe he remembered that. Knew about that. I don't know what babies remember or don't remember in the womb. But I do know that music stimulates babies. You know? I think that's why we believe Anna is the way she is. When Anna was born, she was the most observant baby I've ever seen in my life. She hated to go to sleep. And she was just always like this. Just looking at everything. And she wanted to experience everything. She hated to go to sleep. I literally had to hold her in this really weird position and to keep every thing of her body from moving so that she would go to sleep. I mean, if a toe wiggled, she'd stay awake. It was amazing. I had to tie her down. You know, I was thinking about getting duct tape and just wrapping her up in a cocoon, you know, whatever. But when she went to sleep, then I could lay her down. But if I tried to lay her down before that, forget it. She'd be up again. And she's just like this. My wife was preparing for her senior recital. So she's playing all this classical music, you know. And that's probably what happened with Anna. Her brain was just going, right? Isn't that that's kind of what I think. You should have played something a little more mellow. All right, he leapt in the womb. He knew who this was. Probably from a small child. Remember, they're cousins, John and Jesus. They grew up together, perhaps. And John, he bore witness of Jesus Christ. Have you grown together with Jesus? Hey, we have the Holy Spirit of God. Have you been around Jesus enough to know who he is and be a witness of him? Or do you hardly know him? How well do you know the Lord? You know, sometimes they bring in what's called a character witness. What is a character witness for? To establish the character of the individual. Right? Let me ask you a question. How many of you, or let's get on this side of it. How many of us would be able to be a character witness for Jesus Christ? Think about that. Do you know him well enough to be able to witness of his character if he were on trial? This is real. John, I think, knew Jesus really well. He's out there preaching in the desert, telling people of Jesus Christ. He knew of these things. Jesus himself, back in our text, said that his works bear witness of him. When Jesus was going through, he says this, have a greater witness in verse 36. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent. Why did Jesus give authority and power to the disciples to do these wonders and works? So that they would be a sign to the Jews that the Messiah had come. What does the Bible tell us in Ephesians chapter 2? For by grace are ye saved through, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? That's what it says. But how about verse 10? For we are His workmanship, created what? Unto good works. Right? Why? That we should walk in it. Why are the works important? They're a witness. Why was what Jesus did important? Why was it important that He could heal this man by the poolside? Why was it important that He could raise up a woman's son from the dead? Why was it important that He could do all these things and do? Because they were a testimony. What does the Bible say about our lives? By our fruit ye shall know them. What kind of life are we living? What kind of testimony? What kind of a witness are we by the life that we live? Hey, I'm not for what some of these religions call lifestyle evangelism, but I am for living like Jesus. Because who am I trying to be a testimony of? Jesus. God Himself was a witness. We know that Jesus said that the Father had borne witness of Him. What did God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. You understand that God Himself witnessed of His Son and what work He was there to do. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says about itself? That it's perfect. It's a living book. But you know what also it's supposed to be? It's supposed to come out of our mouth, folks. It's supposed to be in our minds. It's supposed to be in us so that it comes out of us. So that people can hear. Doesn't faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Yeah. And we're supposed to preach the Word of God. We're supposed to go out and teach them all things that Jesus has commanded, right? We're supposed to give out the gospel. Well, guess where that's recorded? In the Word of God. What is it? Why does the devil hate this thing so much? Why does he want to try to eradicated from the world? Because it's a witness. It's a witness. How is it that we know anything about God at all? Because of this book. But you know what churches are getting away from more and more? This book. And unfortunately, you know what Christians are getting away from more and more? This testimony. You know, not only is a testimony meant to support someone's case, it can also condemn someone's case. You know why we don't like that book? Because it cuts us deep. My in-laws wrote in a Bible that my wife has that they gave to her when she went out to Bible college. And you've heard this before, I'm sure. But it says two phrases. It says, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? It's a testimony. It's a witness. The Holy Scriptures. Jesus, in our text, Jesus said that hey, Moses told you, and you didn't even believe him. He said, he wrote of me. He testified of me, and you haven't received his witness of me. It says in verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. How much of the Word of God do you share with those you come in contact with? You know, we'll talk about everything else. The weather, politics, sports, entertainment. You understand, I can sit down and watch Jeopardy and do pretty well. You know what that is? Sad. That's sad. Why? It's a whole bunch of useless information. Now, I am a little bit, I do get a little bit proud when the Bible category comes up. I do like that one. Okay. But is that what life's all about? No. Yeah. What is our manner of conversation? What? If you want to know what somebody's about, just listen to them for a little while. You'll find out what they're all about. We ought to be all about God. All about a testimony, a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus himself was a witness. He plainly states that he's the Son of God. He concludes that if they believe not the writings of Moses, they wouldn't believe him anyways. And they didn't. We know that John chapter 1 tells us that he came unto his own and his own received him not. He's the true light. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But the Bible says they wouldn't believe. And they didn't believe. They ended up calling out, "Crucify him." He's not our king. They denied the Lord. You know, a witness has an opportunity to stand up and give testimony. It may cost them something. And guess what? Nobody's going to make them get on that stand. They have to willingly go up there and proclaim that they're willing to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Maybe at that point they become a target. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I just wonder, where are you at as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take the stand? Is your testimony going to be true? God says we're supposed to be witnesses. Or maybe today you can't even be a witness because you've never experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. How is it with you today? You decide.